And now for our main event of the WEW podcast, we're going to talk about the main event of Survivor Series 2016. And we have our returning champion, Mike Pertil from Los Angeles, California, to discuss what he thought about Bill Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, and his favorite person of all time now, I think. Right, Tom? Or I mean, right, Mike?
Yes. So it's good to be back.
Before we get to Mike, you need to apologize for not acknowledging that he is from the home of Samoa Joe, Huntington.
I'm sorry.
I was going to let it slide, but now that my hometown is home to the world's only two-time NXT champion, I feel like I should stick up for it. Thank you, Tom.
I'm here for you, buddy.
Thank you. So, Survivor Series as a whole was generally garbage, and which was unsurprising because I feel like main roster programming since I don't even know how far back we want to go, but far enough back to cover the build of the Survivor Series has been pretty much garbage. But the goal of any big time main event and the goal of any pay-per-view is to build a new star. And WWE succeeded in a way that it really hasn't succeeded in years, when it really took what was a main event that I think a lot of people were kind of cautiously optimistic at best about, and turned it into one of the great star-making moments of the last decade. So to set the scene, we had a returning Bill Goldberg to challenge Brock Lesnar, and they stole the build for this match straight from the plotline of Rocky Balboa. Basically, they said, hey, we've got WWE 2K17 coming out. If you order it early, you can play as Bill Goldberg. It would be cool if Bill Goldberg wrestled Brock Lesnar, even though that had already actually happened once. And then within like a week, they were just like, hey, it's going to be Goldberg and Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. So that was the setup. The setup was solely about there was a video game. You could play as these guys on the video game, and then you could actually see them perform. They later kind of backfilled a story about WrestleMania 20 and how they had this this sort of highly underwhelming blow-off match that I encourage everybody to watch because it's like bizarrely terrible. And the crowd turns on both of them, and it's one of the weirder events in WrestleMania history. But that's for another day.
It's a good thing that WWE has all but written WrestleMania 20 out of the history books, because there was a little known main event, a little known fact. There was actually no main event to WrestleMania 20. There was none.
That's right. It just ends. So build-up was kind of weird, Goldberg had announced, it sounded pretty clearly that in the build-up to this match, that this would be his last match. He told, obviously he's got his "your next" catchphrase. He tells Lesnar, "you're last," which, I'm not a linguist, but I took that to mean this was going to be it.
Because he's old as hell, and he even, I think, injured himself the first time he came back, too. Or at least that's what he said.
That's right. So, yes, he is old as hell, had not appeared in WWE for 12 years.
To set the record straight, he did not injure himself. Being around the aura of Rusev injured him.
Yes, that's true.
So, match itself, there were, I think that there were really only kind of two logical outcomes. One is Brock Lesnar, takes Goldberg to Suplex City, dominates him. Maybe there's some back and forth, and Brock Lesnar wins and kind of moves on to the next big thing for WrestleMania, or you know, Goldberg upsets Brock Lesnar in kind of, you know, in sort of, you know, some way, you know, kind of tames the monster and gets a nice little send off moment.
Did any of that happen? Yeah.
No. So something far greater than that happened. So Goldberg comes out, spears Lesnar twice, jackhammers him, and wins in a minute and 26 seconds. That in itself is one of the more shocking events in WWE history, to have a 90-second squash match be the main event of a major pay-per-view.
It was like Triple H. I don't
think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, it was like Triple H and Vince McMahon pissing in every fan's face, basically. It's like,
I honestly cannot think of a more shocking squash match that has ever happened. Like, it's not as shocking as The Undertaker losing his streak, but that would, you know, that was also a fairly long match. I can't think of a singular match that was that short, that was that one-sided, that was surprising. But honestly, to me, and we'll get to it after we talk about the star-making moment that match was, to me, I like the way it ended, because I didn't see it coming, and I want to see where they're going to go from here. But I interrupt with Mike Pirto. We are talking about the new stuff.
So, match ends, and Goldberg, like, they cut to Lesnar, you know, kind of licking his wounds as he exits the ring. They cut back to the ring, and there's Bill Goldberg, also with his 12-year-old son, and the 12-year-old son is shirtless, just straight shirtless. And, like, Chuckles. So, you know, we talked about, oh, the squash match was shocking. I don't think there's anything more shocking than just a shirtless 12-year-old kind of, like, preening around the ring with his dad at the end of a pay-per-view. I did not see that coming. And here's what I think made it so great is that it went unsaid by the announcers. Like, the announcers did not acknowledge the fact that Chuckles Goldberg was shirtless in the ring.
Yeah.
they just celebrated the fact that a boy was celebrating with his dad, and that's, you know, that's probably the right call, because from a storytelling perspective, we now have so many questions. Like, when did the shirt come off? I think is question one.
I want to say that after the second spear, he just ripped it off and was just, like, screaming in the fan.
So that's, you know, is Bill Goldberg so, like, deeply connected with his son that the power of that second spear just, like, burst the shirt off the son's back? You know, that's one possibility. Another possibility is he was like, oh, cool, show's over, and just took his shirt off. Like, that's how the boy travels.
That's how he rolls deep.
Yeah.
Well, it's 10 p.m. It's bedtime. Might as well get finished bed. Take my shirt off.
Another possibility, of course, is that he just assumed that he was, like, going to then wrestle Paul Heyman and wanted to be ready for when he, you know, jumped back. So he gets back in the ring to kind of, you know, maybe he was just ready for a fight and felt like he didn't want to mess up the, you know, t-shirt that he had on and decided to just go shirtless. Another possibility, you know, kid looked to be about 12 years old. I don't have a firm confirmed age on him. You know, maybe there was a young lady in the crowd that he wanted to impress, and he was like, hey, I'm taking my shirt off. And
I think the final possibility was that Gage Goldberg wore a Chris Benoit shirt to the show, and then as soon as security found out he was getting in the ring, they just ripped it off him.
That's hardcore, man.
WWE security carries like a Jaws of Life style thing that they can just remove any Chris Benoit reference from at any time. So, you know, I'm really glad that I got to join you guys because it's so rare in this modern era of wrestling to be surprised. And it's even rarer to be surprised and overjoyed. And I think that the introduction of Chuckles Goldberg to the WWE universe, it far exceeded my expectations, both as a wrestling fan and as a father, that perhaps one day I could spear a man so hard that my son's shirt just rips off his back and he gets to celebrate live on pay-per-view, shirtless in the ring.
I hope that for you too.
I think what's going to make you the most happy is that, like, 15 years from now, or yeah, probably like 15 years from now, when your son is going to be 15 or 16, you know, like, and has been watching wrestling with you for a couple of years, he's going to see the debut of Chuckles Goldberg into the industry, and he's going to get to relive that moment in a video pack.
Yeah, I mean, that assumes that I won't be like bouncing him on my knee from the time he's, you know, to telling him about the legend of Chuckles Goldberg, which is probably what I'll be doing. So, it'll be, you know, George Washington, you know, the greats.
So
George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Chuck Norris, Chuckles Goldberg, the list goes on and on.
That's good stuff. So quickly, I want to ask. So we kind of feel like, okay, so Bill Goldberg did announce that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble because he says he has one last title run in him, which means that he'd have to get that WrestleMania. Do you think this Bill Goldberg title run is going to happen? And do you think Chuckles Goldberg will be staying by him shirtless every inch of the way?
Well, I think that for Bill Goldberg's sake, I hope that he actually does not win the title because, you know, I think what we've seen time and time again is that the championship is such a powerful force that it kind of turns people against each other. You know, we've seen family feuds before. And I think that the raw power of Chuckles Goldberg is such that Bill Goldberg really can't hold off that challenge. And, you know, I think that if he were to win the title, it would only be a matter of time before he is slayed and destroyed by his son, Chuckles.
All right. I like that answer. What about Tom? What do you think?
I think there's no way Goldberg wins the title because it's just not, like, it's a good story to have him go for it. It's a good story to have him in the Rumble, but Brock Lesnar's in the Rumble. You know, and I feel like that's going to be the story, is Brock is going to find a way to eliminate Goldberg, probably by cheating, probably by throwing his son out of the ring first. And then Goldberg will, like, eliminate himself, chasing his son through the arena. And then when he doesn't win the title, I hope that he comes back with a title belt painted on Chuckles Goldberg's bare chest and just wears his son as a title belt.
And it's the spinning title belt, so he can spin his son. Oh, I like that a lot. I like that. Oh my god,
well, this has been it.
On that day, to throw it back to a podcast we no longer do. On that day, Chuckles Goldberg will be the champion of champions.
Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. But yeah, that's that's our Chuckles Goldberg segment. We want to thank Mr. Mike Pertil all the way from Los Angeles or Huntington Beach, where Samoa Joe reigns, right?
No, it's not or. It is Huntington Beach.
Yeah, only one home.
Only one. All right.
Mike Pertil, we miss you every day. Please come back to us.
Hey, I'm really happy to be with you guys. If I ever sleep for more than 4 hours at a time, I will return to podcasting full time.
Sweet, sweet deal. Well, thank you again, and long live the WEW podcast.
Long live Chuckles out.